Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, it'll be times of clouds and sun with a high around the mid-40s. Kenosha right now, 34 degrees, 35 in Burlington, 35 in Milwaukee, also 34 in Racine. Following a unanimous vote of the Mount Pleasant Village Board, a new administrator is going to begin her tenure in that community on Monday, more than a year after the village parted ways with its last administrator. There was a meeting of the board behind closed doors. Then the search committee's chair, Rob Richardson, announced the hiring of Maureen Murphy.
So we'll be talking more and more about doing a strategic plan. We've talked a lot about that. Doing possibly a Citizens Academy government so that we can involve you all and show you really what a jewel we have under this building.
Meanwhile, Village President Dave DeGroot said finding the new administrator a long and winding road.
There's a lot to like about Maureen Murphy. She'll bring a different perspective to the administrator's position, and I think in part because of her very unique character. Her career history itself includes a lot of time in the trenches. We're informed by her that she's ready for this position, and we expect her to hit the ground running.
Murphy saying the Foxconn development was a major factor that drew her to apply for the administrator's post in Mount Pleasant. Murphy's returning to public service after a two-year hiatus for family issues. Most recently, she was the Human Services Administrator in West Bend. A change in state law regarding incorporation, approved because of Foxconn, allowing Town of Yorkville officials in Racine County to take advantage and move to change that community status to a village. The Town Board and Plan Commission both voting Monday night in favor of a resolution that would hold a referendum in the spring, though a specific date has yet to be established. Up until the Foxconn bill, Yorkville officials had to deal with Wisconsin's more rigid rules for incorporation. Now, the only holdup with the new scenario is that the Foxconn site, of course, in nearby Mount Pleasant, that first has to be designated as an electronic district, and that will have to come after the first of the year. Then the town board can move toward a referendum date. At the Racine County Board meeting last night, both the tax levy and a resolution to raise supervisors' salaries in the future were approved without discussion. The tax levy for 2017 to be collected next year followed board approval of next year's budget last week. Finance Committee Chair Q.A. Shakur saying that the total levy is $49.7 million, the tax rate to be just under $3.50. On the resolution to raise supervisors' salaries, only Bob Miller voted against the increase, first time for a hike since 1990. Supervisor Shakur noting the raises are from $2,200 up to $2,750.
Each supervisor, excluding the chairman and vice chairman, shall be paid $7,000 split over 26 weekly pay periods. The county board chairman should get $10,500 split evenly over 26 biweekly pay periods, and vice chairman shall be paid $8,750 split over 26 biweekly pay periods.
Also approved by the board, transfer approval for $9,300 out of about $33,000 in state reimbursement, Shakur explaining is for office buildouts in child support services. Kenosha Alderman G. John Ruffalo's trial on allegations that he stalked a former girlfriend has now been delayed till next spring. There was a scheduled motion hearing yesterday. The defense and the prosecution, though, both asking for more time to review Ruffalo's cell phone records. A pretrial conference has now been set for March the 16th, the trial March the 26th. Ruffalo accused in a single count of stalking, reportedly went after a woman between February 2014 and July of 2017, despite warnings from law enforcement to leave her alone. Ruffalo remains free on $10,000 bond. He continues his duties as the alderman of Kenosha's 4th District. It's a four-year-old legal dispute between the city of Racine and Racine County over joint dispatch staffing levels. Looks like it's about to formally come to an end. The Finance and Personnel Committee, after a closed session, agreed to not appeal Judge Emily Miller's ruling that the county was owed more than $350,000 under terms of the dispatch contract.
The court entered judgment on Thursday, November 9th, indicating that the county breached the contract between the city and the county, but the county prevailed on the issue of damages. Therefore, the county is entitled to judgment against the city in the amount of $350,000 $474.
That is City Attorney Scott Letney in open session. Back in 2013, City of Racine withheld its quarterly payment of $350,000, claiming that the county had failed to meet agreed-upon staffing levels. A second withheld payment was eventually turned over, but the dispute went on, along with that one payment that remained unresolved. Then the circuit court got involved, Judge Miller ruling the city had to pay the county, though the county admitted to not having the required 51 full-time employees at the time. Racine's Public Safety and Licensing Committee agenda for its 5:30 p.m. meeting at City Hall. That includes consideration of an anti-bullying ordinance. Racine's Public Works Committee, also meeting at 5:30 p.m., might hear latest plans regarding the state DOT and reconstructing Durand Avenue between Kentucky Street east to Kearney Avenue. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Smaling listed on the County Board's 6 p.m. Government Services Committee meeting agenda with an update on a policy to implement body cameras. And the Sturtevant Continual Committee meeting's agenda, that includes a resolution for a state trust fund loan application for a possible $800,000 payment in lieu of cell phones for public works employees. With little discussion, the Mount Pleasant Village Board approved some changes in the village's master land use plan and the rezoning for more than 200 parcels of land related to the Foxconn project, as well as other possible development in the village. Community Development Coordinator Sam Schultz saying that the change to the land use plan involved the area on the southwestern corner of the village targeted by Foxconn.
Proposed amendment to the comprehensive plan would allow additional business park development along the interstate corridor. Similar areas have seen increased business park growth and activity further north in the village at State Highway 20 Interchange. And in neighboring communities such as the IKEA development in Oak Creek, the U-Line development in Pleasant Prairie, and the Amazon development in Kenosha.
He said after initial approval by the Plan Commission last month, letters went out to the 127 parcel owners involved, as well as surrounding municipalities seeking comments. The board also approving a recommendation from the Plan Commission to rezone 206 parcels in that targeted area. In Pleasant Prairie, the Plan Commission has approved site and operational plans for the FNA Group to occupy more than 60,000 square feet of space in a building on 72nd Avenue. Company manufactures high-pressure cleaners, hoses, and accessories. Will use the space to expand manufacturing and assembly operations. The FNA Group relocated a portion of its Arkansas manufacturing operations to Prairie in 2015, also corporate headquarters from Illinois. Right now, the group employs 125 workers at the Pleasant Prairie site. This expansion to allow for the hiring of 40 new full-time workers on the first shift. A no-cost contract with CGI Communications of Rochester, New York, to produce videos which promote the city of Racine is being recommended by the Finance and Personnel Committee. Though one of the panel members had questions and concerns about maybe a local company perhaps being able to do the very same work. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk said this is something that has been done nationwide. It's called the Community Video Program. The National Alliance of Cities and U.S. Conference of Mayors backs it. He's had experience with it as the administrator in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
The city's responsibility is to endorse the effort and to agree that for 3 years you will keep the videos on your website. And in the process then, as you can see in the case, this is the case of Fayetteville, North Carolina, all of the people who have purchased sponsorships, when you go to the city's website and you look for this sort of the video, series of videos, they get their logo around it. And then in turn, some of these sponsorships, they can actually pay for some of their own video production.
Alderman Henry Perez didn't have a problem with the concept, just that a local company maybe could do the same thing.
Even though this seems really nice, I'm concerned that the political impact of this is going to be quite harsh, because we do have places in town that could do something like this. Maybe they might not have this specific program, but we have to give our own people an opportunity to come out and say, hey, are you willing to do this? And then if they all say no, I would say, yeah, let's go for this, because they're willing. But I want to give our people an opportunity first. I mean, they're local. They know what's going on here. They're not outsiders to come in and look around and go, oh, this looks good. You know, they know the heartbeat of who we are.
A motion to hold off until at least considering any local firms to do the same work died for lack of a second, with Alderman Perez then the only no vote to recommend that proposal to the common council. At the council meeting, there could be yet another effort at considering local talent, maybe even perhaps suggesting some kind of a video contest. But again, no taxpayer dollars would be involved. And the kettle campaign for the Racine Salvation Army for the holidays, that's going to be starting up soon. And the honorary chairman is S.C. Johnson's CEO and chairman, Fisk Johnson, chosen by the Salvation Army's advisory board because of his compassionate leadership style and his passion for the community. In the 2016 kettle campaign, it was Fisk Johnson's leadership, credited with spurring the community for a record Christmas Eve day total of nearly $13,000. This year's Red Kettle campaign, beginning on Friday, continuing through December the 23rd, and of course, volunteer bell ringers are always needed. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.